This is a man who has given his life and truly believes the things that he's about to speak to you about. I am so excited to be part of what he's sharing with us. And would you welcome Reverend Bill Tate? Welcome. Right. Great to have you.
Well, the reason that I'm here this morning is to give to you, Ironworks Church, the opportunity to bring the gospel to an unreached people group in India. These are people who have never once heard the name of Jesus. They don't know that there's a God who loves them. They don't know that their sins can be forgiven. They don't know that they cannot be slaves to their old nature. They don't know that there is life after death and that they can have hope no matter what their situation is. This is just the few of the things that you can really bring to these people today who are truly living in spiritual darkness. Now, Operation World is a premier handbook regarding what is happening in missions all over the world. And the most recent edition stated that of all the unreached people groups in the world with populations of 10,000 or more, 75% are found in one country, and that's the land of India. Now, Glad Tidings India, working in cooperation with our indigenous partner, India Bible Literature, has really a proven, effective track record in literacy and church planting ministry now for 30 years, and in Vacation Bible School ministry reaching children for over 20 years. And 6 years ago, we got an idea of establishing a three-year strategy for reaching unreached people groups with what is already working. Isn't that novel? You know, mostly we think, oh, let's try something new. Maybe this will work. I'm saying to you that we simply felt led to put together a three-year strategy of what has already been working to see if we couldn't effectively penetrate a number of unreached people groups with the gospel. And our three-year strategy is this. The first year, Bible content literacy classes would be conducted for 450 adults. You should go back one. You're way ahead of me. There you go. The second year, we would train 10 church planters to build upon the base established by the literacy ministry and to begin to start churches. And then the third year, there would be Bible content literacy classes conducted for another 300 adults because now some churches would be started. The ability to read and write would be even more important, to understand the Bible and so forth. And then Vacation Bible School would be conducted for 1,000 children, and you would really begin to reach out to families. So the first year, Bible content literacy classes are conducted for 450 adults. Now, why beginning with literacy is so effective is because most unreached people groups in India are illiterate. In fact, it's hard for us to believe, I think, in this day and age when we think of India as one of the computer centers of the world. India, with a population of 1.2 billion people in this day and age, 50% of the entire population is still functionally illiterate. But in particular, when you get into the unreached people groups, most can't read and write. And literacy is so basic. The missionary that developed our literacy program that we're using, Dr. Joyce Scott, who with her husband Bill went to India in 1950. Joyce has gone to be with the Lord now. When she developed this literacy program back in 1984, she developed it because 80% of the people at her church couldn't read. And so she said, this is a real basic need. But then she developed it in such a manner that as people practiced their reading, every dimension of their lives could be uplifted. Because as they would practice a reading, she had a sheet they would read on how to keep your water pot clean so you don't get sick. another on how to grow green vegetables in your garden and eat more nutritiously. We need to go to the, that one. How to take care of your newborn baby. Infant mortality rate is very high in India. And often that's just because of a lack of basic understanding of how to take care of a newborn baby. Family relationships, government programs for uplifting the poor. Actually, India has some very good government programs for helping the poor. But if you are illiterate, you don't know about them. If you've heard about them, you can't fill out the applications. So literacy is very, very basic. And then also some simple math, how to begin to save a little bit. And in our literacy program, some self-help skills are taught so that wherever these folks are, they can begin to help themselves even economically. If it's an area where they use banana leaves for plates, they might be taught how to make those plates and just get a little extra income for their families. But most importantly, the primers, you go to the next slide, please, are full of Bible stories, and increasingly so as they progress. And so the message of the gospel is made very clear right in the primers. It's just how it used to be when our country was brand new. The old McGuffey reader, the New England primer, full of Bible. And that's why the schools and colleges were started. So we begin meeting the most basic need of literacy, which our literacy program is very holistic in nature. The second year, then, 10 church planters are trained and equipped to build upon the base established by the literacy classes. And then the third year, once churches have been started, there's more literacy for adults, 300 adults, and beginning to reach out to families and children with Vacation Bible School. Now, we got this three-year strategy idea about 6 years ago, and now we've been working in 48 unreached people groups that have completed the first year of ministry, and I just want to give you an idea of the kind of results we're seeing. First year, 450 adults enrolled in Bible content literacy classes. In 48 unreached people groups that have finished the first year, for every 450 adults enrolled, the average results that we're seeing are 181 decisions for Christ, 61 baptized, and 227 attending. I say church, there's really no churches to attend, but it's little cell groups. So literacy classes then have a little prayer cell group that really begins to pray, and they're the kind of the basis for beginning to start a church. Interesting, the average social results, and I think, this is an important thing, that when the gospel is presented, that every dimension of the people's lives can be uplifted. Our literacy classes run 2 hours a night, 5 nights a week for 10 months. I want you to stop and think about that for a minute. We think a commitment to teach Vacation Bible School for 1 or 2 weeks here is a pretty big commitment every day. How would you like to be a literacy teacher? 2 hours a night, 5 nights a week for 10 months. And most all these are conducted at night because the people are working out in the fields in the daytime so they can eat. So how would you like to be the students? What do you think the chances are of completing these 10 months? 2 hours a night, 5 nights a week. Our record so far is that 90% who enroll complete the classes. That is either unbelievable or fantastic. And I want to tell you why it's believable. Because every dimension of these people's lives are being uplifted day by day as they go through the literacy classes. If I keep my water pot clean, I won't get sick. If I stop doing this or that, whatever. So what we're seeing then is that the classes are so beneficial that the people keep wanting to come because their lives are being helped. The first book every literacy graduate gets is their own copy of the Bible. And on average, 194 by the end of the 10 months are saying they're trying and endeavoring to read their Bible regularly. We have a dimension to the literacy program where you can become an each one teach one teacher, and we offer that to every graduate. Out of every 450 students, on average, we're seeing 100 say that they want to become each one teach one teachers. And you know what I love about this is, just think about this for a second. You could get a literacy graduate who has not come to Christ, take the primers and bring the gospel to another person because the primers are full of Bible stories. You see what I'm saying? It just keeps the gospel going out. On average, 282 is saying they're taking baths and wearing clean clothes. 73 started family planning. 53 stopped drinking. In India, in the villages, they make a homemade alcoholic beverage that people get addicted to, and the little bit of money they get, they waste on alcohol, and husbands come home and beat their wives, and I mean, it's just really bad. So when you see, on average, the first year in every unreached people group, 53 are stopping drinking. That is huge. That's 53 families that will have a different lifestyle. 50 stop child marriage. I won't take the time to go into the details, but this would be delivering 50 young girls from an awful life. 108 women start to generate income. This is by the self-help skills are taught. And on average, after the first year, daily wages have increased 81%. I'm taking the time to go into these figures to say that this is something that is really working. It has been working, but it continues to work. The second year, 10 church planters are trained and equipped to begin then planting churches. We have had 25 unreached people groups where the second year has been completed. The average results for those 25 unreached people groups are over 1,100 decisions for Christ, 166 baptized, 288 ready for baptism, and over 2,300 per unreached people group attending church. Now, I can't guarantee you're going to see these kind of results from your unreached people group. I'm just telling you what's already happened. We've got areas where there's been persecution, and the decisions for like the next latest report have been zero. You don't know what's going to happen. But I'm just saying to you, it is feasible that from this little group of believers here in Phoenixville, there could be 3 years from now over 2,000 people attending church in India. It's possible. I mean, we're seeing it. If you can't get excited about that, you're dead. So why is this so effective? And this is kind of the sermon part of this, and I think it's really important for you to understand, and you'll begin to really believe that what I'm saying to you is true. The first reason, and it's a number of reasons to this, but I'm just going to touch on four things this morning. Why is this ministry so effective? The first is that the Word of God, the Bible, is central in all of our ministries. In the literacy program, the primers are full of Bible stories. In the church planting program, every church planter we train has the first year 300 hours of Bible study for themselves. And then their goal the first year is to visit up to 1,000 homes, one at a time. And they don't say, come to church, because there's no church to come to. They either give them a Gospel of John or a little introductory Bible study course we have called Guide to Happiness, designed especially for the Hindu. So the goal is, when every time that church planter visits a home, is to get somebody beginning to get into the Bible, to study the Bible, to understand what the Word of God says. And in our vacation Bible school program, the children memorize Bible verses, They sing gospel songs, Bible songs. They go home to their Hindu parents or what, and they share these songs and verses. And so the Word of God is permeating all the time. Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Our offensive weapon for the believer is the Scriptures. If you want to see someone come to Christ in any way you can, get them into the Bible. Isaiah 55:11, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it basically says, it penetrates to the very depths of our being. What makes us tick as individuals, as human beings, the Bible speaks to that. It speaks to what makes life meaningful. And then once you become a Christian, Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And this isn't just for unreached people groups in India. It's for us in America. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. You and I need to be reading our Bibles daily to try to halfways keep us straight. Because we live in a culture and a society, especially here in America now, that is moving far from what the Bible teaches. And just by exposure, you're going to be sucked away into believing things that are going to hurt you and not be true if you aren't constantly into the Bible and then through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit leading you to making correct decisions, right decisions, and just following what God wants you to do. Second reason, why is this ministry so effective? Well, in India, we work through what I say the God-appointed means, and that is the local church. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I want you to catch this. This is really important. Glad Tidings India does not do the ministry. I don't do the ministry. I can't move to the right for this speaker. I got to go. The reason why this is so effective is that it is local churches, ordinary believers, just like you and me, who become the literacy teachers, who become the church planners, who become the VBS teachers. Who is better qualified to reach people in Phoenixville than somebody that lives in Salt Lake City, Utah? You can't beat being a local. So that's just simply what we're doing is local churches. Ephesians 5:29, Jesus said, the scripture says that no one ever hated his own body, but nourishes and cherishes just as the Lord does the church. And I honestly believe if you want to see God work and you want to move with God in your own life, you've got to be a part of the church because it's the body of Christ in the world today. Third reason why I believe we're seeing such results is that we have what I call a grassroots-directed indigenous strategy. What's that mean? It means it's Spirit-led. And Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You're supposed to be shocked when I make this statement, when I make this next statement. You ready? If one of you came up to me after our church meeting today and you said to me, boy, what you sound is so great. I've got $1 million that I'm going to give to you right now and I want you to do ministry in Uttar Pradesh. I couldn't take it. Because money, hear this, Americans, money does not determine ministry with us. How do we know what people groups to work in? Individual churches where God has laid a burden on their hearts for a tribal group near them that they know has never heard the gospel, God lays it on their heart. And then they come to our partner indigenous organization in India, India Bible Literature, which is all Indian, and they say, if you will train some of our people to be literacy teachers, some of our people to be church planters, some of our people to be VST, I believe we can reach these people. India Bible Literature then filters those requests. We don't hear because we don't know what we're doing over here. We don't know the local Indian churches, which ones are good, which ones are bad, which ones are true to the scriptures, which ones are just looking for money. We don't know. But our staff in India that lives there and works all over India and is located in all different parts of India, they know. So it's filtered. And then it comes to Glad Tidings India. But you see, what I'm trying to let you know is it comes from the local church. It is really, truly about as spirit-led as you could get. Because money does not determine ministry with us. Don't you love it? Final reason I'm going to share with you why this ministry is so effective. And that is, I'm saying it's God's time. God's timing, and we must be sensitive to that. In the New Testament, there are two Greek words that are both translated time in English. One is chronos, and the other is kairos. Chronos refers to time in general. We get our English word chronology from that Greek word. It's used in a number of passages. But there's a second Greek word, kairos. And its meaning in the Greek is it's a fixed time or a season. It's a God-appointed opportunity which may be here now, which may never come again. And I just want to look at two verses of Scripture where that Greek word kairos is used. 2 Corinthians 16, it says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. That's the Greek word kairos. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What does this Scripture verse mean? Means a lot of things, but I think one thing it means is there's a specific time in each one of our lives when God calls us unto Himself. I was sent to Sunday school when I was 3. Those were the days when parents were still in control. And I went whether I felt like it or not. But it wasn't until an Easter Sunday afternoon all by myself in our living room. I was watching TV. I was about 12 years of age, I think. They showed the movie of the life of Christ. And when I saw Jesus go to that cross and suffering, it just hit me as a boy of 12. Jesus was paying the price so my sins could be forgiven. And I'm not saying it has to be that way, but tears came down my cheeks, and ever since then I knew I wanted to go into ministry. That was God's time in my life. And I believe what's true for us as individuals is also true for nations. There are times of the moving of the Spirit of God in nations. Ephesians 5:15-17 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, and there's that Greek word kairos, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I like this verse the way it's in the New King James, because it uses the word circumspectly. That comes from the Greek word akrobos, which means exactly or diligently. It's really saying, have a specific walk that God has for you. The English comes from two Latin words, circum and specare. Circum, circumference, look around. Specare, my mom used to say she put on her specs, her spectacles, her glasses. It means to be watchful in all directions for the moving of the Spirit of God. First, for what God's will is for your life, what He wants you to do next. But secondly, for where He's moving in the world so that we can go with what God is doing and not go with what we're doing. To be spiritually discerning. And there's no question in my mind that this is really a kairos moment for the land of India. The two missionaries that founded our work, Bill and Joyce Scott, went to India in 1950. They said in the 50s, most Indians wouldn't even look at a Bible. Same thing in the 60s. So they were there for 20 years and didn't see a whole lot happening. But in the 70s, the Spirit of God began to move, and Indians became to come to Christ, and churches were starting to grow. And so it was in 1984 that Joyce developed the literacy ministry. We started our church planting program in 1985. And then as we get into the 90s, things began to happen. And then when you start from 2000 on, look out. Joyce Scott went to be with the Lord about 10 years ago. But Bill Scott is 87 years old. He's been a missionary to India for 64 years. He's not running the ministry. It's all Indian now. He's advisor consultant. But his advice is just so tremendous. I can't keep up with the man. I go to India and I'm tired when I get there after the long journey. He gets there, he's in the office the next morning at 7 o'clock, gone like crazy. But my wife Lane and I were there for a celebration of his being a missionary for India for 60 years in 2010. And there were key partner churches from all over India to celebrate how God has used Bill Scott. And I went up and talked to a number of them where in the past 13 years, you wouldn't believe. I could tell you of a John Tapa working in Jharkhand state. High illiteracy. In the past 20 years, he's seen something like 43 churches started and 13 Christian schools with those churches started in Jharkhand. I mean, unbelievable what we're seeing. Now, of course, you're not going to hear about it on the evening news, but it's amazing what's happening. So the stage is set now, I believe, like never before, to reach unreached people groups in India. And local church has come to us and said, we want to reach the Halba tribal group in the state of Chhattisgarh in India. And you look at the map, you'll see where that is, kind of in the center of India. I want you to hear a little bit about this state of Chhattisgarh. It's a population of 25 million. Now, this is the unreached people group that you can reach. Chhattisgarh is a population of 25 million. To put that into perspective, the state of Pennsylvania has a population of 13 million. So Chhattisgarh has double the population of Pennsylvania. So the number of people, you get it in your mind, 92.4% Hindu, 2% Muslim, 1.9% Christian. You ready for this one? 80% of the population of Chhattisgarh is illiterate. Now I want you to imagine what life would be like living in Pennsylvania if we had twice the number of people in the state and 80% of us couldn't read or write. Chhattisgarh is highly rural, 80%, massively undeveloped. One of the reasons this is an area with unreached people groups is this state is backward. It also has an anti-conversion law, which means it's illegal for people to come to Christ. So we're asking right off the bat to break the law by partnering with us. Also, I want to warn you, in Chhattisgarh, the BJP party is very strong, and that is the militant Hindu political arm. And this election was really bad news. We just had elections in India. The new prime minister is BJP. That's going to embolden radical Hindus who hate anybody that's not Hindu. And so we need to be praying for these literacy teachers who will start and the church planters who will start, because they're going to be working in a very dangerous area. I can't guarantee any results. I don't know what is going to happen. But you're going to make it possible, I trust, to give people of that kind of courage and commitment to go forth in the name of Christ. In Chhattisgarh, people are highly superstitious. Many engage in witchcraft. The Halba tribals have a population of 150,000, and for your particular ministry, we're going to target five villages, total population about 52,000. These villages are located near a jungle area. They have 7 to 8% people who can read and write. Live in thatched huts. They're daily wage laborers, which means they don't have a job that guarantees them a salary. They are paid day by day. They work today. If there's work for them tomorrow, then they work. If it's not, they don't work. They don't get paid. Children are not sent to school. Just stop and think about this for a while. If you didn't send any of your kids to school, and then what do? They get in trouble. I mean, you can imagine. They eat mainly rice, hunt wild animals, cook meals in dirty pots. Water that they use comes from polluted streams. Men, women, and children drink alcohol. Isn't that a great way to bring up your kids? Start them right away. Can you imagine what a mess it would be like in this situation? Women, to get some income, gather wood from the jungle. Women work very hard, and the people in general worship trees, stones, idol gods. Hard to believe in this day and age, isn't it? I mean, with us living in America. But they worship trees, stones, idol gods, and they practice animal sacrifice. Now, I just want you to see a few pictures of the Halba. There's one next. There's some women walking along the road. Now a woman hauling some wood from a jungle area that she's gathered to sell. Halba house, children. There's a fellow worshiping a tree. So we're ready to implement this 3-year strategy to reach the Halba if you will make it possible. And so the cost, the first year, we can take one person through 10 months of literacy classes for $25. You multiply that by 450, it's $11,250. As Robert said, I do have some discretionary funding available so that I can cover this first year if you're going to make me do that. I'd like to use it for something else, so wouldn't it be neat if you could do all 3 years? Just saying. Second year costs us $1,200 per church planter to give them 300 hours of Bible and equip them with enough Gospels and Guide to Happiness Bible courses to visit up to 1,000 homes. By the way, I want to point out something else with our ministry. It is the purest indigenous strategy I have seen anywhere in the world that I know of. And when God led Bill and Joyce Scott to start this, we trained church planters to be self-supporting. I won't go into the details, but what that means is you will never be asked now, well, we've got some churches started here. We need to underwrite the salaries for these church planters. No, we teach them in India to be self-supporting. I had to tell you this. They're so poor. How can they be self-supporting? What are you talking about? I'm taking time, but I will. Because I find this fascinating. As I've said, Bill Scott, what are you self-supporting? How can they do it? He said, well, years ago, I was this one meeting, and the New Indian Christian was saying, we're so poor, we need help. We need to be supported. And Bill Scott said to them, Hindus go to the temple every day, by the way, not just Sundays like we do, and they worship in their home. He said, have you ever gone to the temple without a gift? Oh, no, sir. I mean, it might be a banana, it might be money, it might be rice, it might be any little thing, but they wouldn't come. He said, okay, now you are a Christian, give what you used to give for the temple to God. Before you were a Christian, did you drink alcohol? Yes, sir. Do you drink alcohol? Oh, no, sir. The money you used to spend on alcohol, give that to God. These church planters are pretty much lay people. They've got work. So tent making is also part of it. And when they go out not under the authority of Glad Tidings India here in America or even India Bible Literature in India. They go out under the authority of a mother church. And that mother church also isn't going to let her daughter baby churches die if they can help it. All that works together to be self-supporting. And that means when the judgment of God comes upon America and we have an economic downturn and everybody starts going, oh, what are we going to do? This kind of mission won't stop in India because these persons have been taught to be self-supporting from the get-go. Think about that. That's exciting because I think we're in real trouble here, by the way, just letting you know. Third year, 300 adults, $25 per person for the 10 months of literacy classes, and then we can have a child go through VBS in India for a dollar because Bill Scott makes the Indian churches pay the other half of what it really costs. This is real indigenization. So the ultimate goal, I believe, should be what our ultimate goal should be for us as individuals and as a church and missions, Colossians 1:10, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And I just lift out that one phrase, being fruitful in every good work. You know, I made a prayer several years ago, and my prayer was that my life could be as fruitful for the kingdom of God as it possibly could be. And I'm in my 41st year now working for India, as we've seen the Spirit of God increasingly move to where we're seeing people come to Christ like we've never seen before in India. It is really fantastic what God is doing through His church in India. And I think there's nothing more exciting to me than bringing the gospel to people who've never had the chance to hear. They've never heard of Christmas. They've never heard of Easter. And you can make that happen. May God enable you to do so. May we pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of knowing you. Thank you that we don't have to be slaves to our old nature, that we can know that you've got mercy and forgiveness, that every day your mercies are new. Thank you for the hope that you give us, that you will guide and lead and direct us through this life, and then when we die, that death is not the end. Help us to be your effective instruments to bring that message and that hope to the world. Lord, I thank you for Iron Works Church. This is a great group of people, and I pray you'll just continue to bless this church and accomplish your purposes through them, throughout the world, for your glory and the increase of your kingdom, especially in reaching this unreached people group in India. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.